not have told you so. Amen. I'm looking forward to it. He said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There's only one way to get to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ. There's not many roads. There's a lot of different roads that you could take to get to Indianapolis today. Man, if you want to go through the country, if you want to go out and get on the interstate, or, you know, there's a lot of different ways. There's only one way to get to heaven. That's through Jesus Christ, the finished work of Christ on the cross of Calvary. I like it there in John chapter 19. He said, it is finished. He didn't say, I'm finished. Hanging up there, nailed to that old rugged cross, been beaten with cat of nine tails within an inch of his life. Crown of thorns placed upon his head, his beard plucked out. Through all the night, through all those mock trials, spear thrust into his side. He didn't say, I'm finished. No, he said, it is finished. Yes. Amen. Amen. And then he says, I commend my, into my Father's hand commend my spirit. Amen. No greater love hath this than a man would lay down his life for his friends, but he laid down his life for his enemies. Amen. I was his enemy. Amen. I'm not preaching right now. I'm just meddling a little bit. Amen. Amen. Thank God for salvation. I was thinking about that song, still sweeter every day. Amen. Amen. Book of Ruth this morning, or this afternoon, whatever you want to call it. It's still morning in Illinois. Real early in the morning out in Colorado, I got a text from a good preacher friend of mine out in Colorado. He texts every Sunday morning, and he pastored in Hastings, Nebraska for years and preached for him out there for several years, and then he left the church there, and he's working as an associate pastor in the church in Colorado, and every Sunday morning he texts me at about 9 o'clock our time, so that means it's about 6 o'clock his time. He's up reading the Word of God, getting prepared for the day. He said, praying for you. I said, Brother Rob, praying for you. Amen. He's my brother. Ruth chapter number 1. I'm going to read the first 18 verses of this chapter. Aren't you thankful for the Word of God? Didn't you enjoy Sunday school this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Brother Jimmy is a great teacher. I appreciate your digging in. You can tell that he's studied and prepared. He's not just up there getting it to you off the cuff. He's prepared and got ready to teach the Word of God so that you can learn some things from the Word of God. I appreciate it. It's not like that in every church that we go into. And sometimes the adult Sunday school teacher gets up and you can tell that he just read the lesson that morning. And I thank God that he studies and prepares. Ruth chapter 1, beginning verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days when the judges ruled that there was a famine in the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah, went to sojourn in the country of Moab, he and his wife and his two sons. And the name of the man was Elimelech, and the name of his wife, Naomi, and the name of his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, Ephratites of the Bethlehem, Judah. And they came into the country of Moab and continued there. And Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left and her two sons. And they took them wives of the women of Moab. The name of the one was Orpah, the name of the other Ruth, and they dwelled there about 10 years. And Mahlon and Chilion died also, both of them, and the woman was left of her two sons and her husband. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law, that she might return from the country of Moab, for she had heard that the country she had heard in the country of Moab how the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. Wherefore she went forth out of the place where she was, and her two daughters-in-law with her, and they went on their way to return unto the land of Judah. And Naomi said unto her two daughters-in-law, go, return each to her mother's house, and the Lord deal kindly with you, as ye have dealt with the dead and with me. The Lord grant you that ye may find rest, each of you, in the house of her husband. Then she kissed them, and they lifted up their voice and wept. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, "Turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that you may be, that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, and go your way, for I am too old to have an husband. If I should say I have hope, if I should have an husband also tonight, and should also bear sons, would you tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, for it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord is gone out against me." And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, "Behold, thy sister is gone, sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return thou after thy sister-in-law." And Ruth said, "Entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me." When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Let's pray for just a moment. Father, we certainly thank you once again for the opportunity to be in your house today. Thank you for the good spirit we've already felt in this place, for the good singing, the good testifying. God, we just want to give you all the honor and the glory and the praise that is due unto you. And so, Father, once again, as best we know how, we yield ourselves to you. Lord, we've asked that you would just show up and show off, that you would magnify yourself. May the Lord Jesus Christ be high and lifted up. And Father, we remind you that, reminded that you are holy, holy, holy. Even as the seraphim, as Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, and as his train filled the temple, and they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy, you are holy." And Father, we're asking that, God, you would do the work that only you can do. Thank you for what you've already done. But Father, we anticipate, we've come with expectation of you doing a mighty work in our midst today. Save that one that's closest to hell. Father, only you know who that person is. And then Father, that one that's your child that's teetering in the balance, God, I pray, they're straddling the fence. God, I pray they get off on the right side of the fence. They decide to follow you. And then Father, those who are walking with you, I pray their hearts might just be encouraged today as we preach your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. The story of Ruth is probably very familiar, and it is the book of Ruth. It's not the book of Naomi, even though Naomi is one of the main characters in it, but it is the book of Ruth. And I don't have time to preach everything that's in the book of Ruth. It'd take probably weeks and months and maybe even years to cover everything. But I just want to focus a little bit here on this first chapter about Elimelech, Naomi, Mahlon, Chilion, Orpah, and Ruth. The name here, as we read in verse number 1, says, "Now it came to pass in the days of the judges that there was a famine in all the land, and a certain man of Bethlehem, Judah." That phrase or that name, Bethlehem, Judah, means house of bread and praises. House of bread and praises. Maybe we could liken that into the church, amen. It's the place of bread and praises, amen. It's where we can come and get fed the Word of God. I've already had one good meal today, amen, during the Sunday school hour, praise God, but I'm looking for some more, amen. And I thank God for the praises. The name Moab means desire. Now, Moab was somewhat like Bethlehem, Judah, but it was quite different in many ways, too. Moab means desire, and even though it may have been somewhat similar, it differed in that it did not love or worship the one true and living God. They served many different gods. As we read down through here, we find that Orpah went back to serve her gods, and maybe the little statues that they set up, the little graven images that they had that they would bow down to and worship. And so Moab means desire. Elimelech, the husband here, his name means "My God is King." Boy, how'd you like to have a name like that? I haven't never heard anybody name their their son Elimelech. I don't know of anybody that's whose son's name is Elimelech, but it means my God is king. Of course, Naomi, we know, means pleasant. And I believe Naomi was a pleasant-looking woman when they left Bethlehem, Judah, and they went down to Moab. I believe she was a pleasant-looking woman, fair to look upon. But we find when she returns, she said, call me not Naomi, but call me Mara. And Mara means bitter. And the Lord had dealt with her. The Lord had chastened her. Listen, when we get out of the will of God and we get out of the way of God and we get into the things of the world, it'll show on you. It'll wear you down. It'll wear you down. And I remember hearing Brother Danny Farley, pastor of Shady Acres Baptist Church down in Houston, Texas, preaching one time about the prodigal, and he said it may be further back than you think. And he gave an illustration of a man that was in his church and was serving God and got away from God and got back out in the world. And he said he never got back to the place that he once was. And it may be further back. And he had that bitterness about him, that look. I mean, he'd gotten forgiven. He got restored. But there was something that changed his countenance. Malon means sickly. And we find that that holds true here as we find out that he dies. Chilion means pining or wasting away. And boy, there's a lot of meaning in all these names here. Then we find Ophrah means hind or fawn. And I thought about that, and I thought about Ophrah. She was, like a hind or a deer or a fawn. They'll take off running and from you. But Ruth means friendship. Ruth means friendship. So I thought it was interesting some of the names here. And as I looked at this passage of Scripture, you would call it the three widows of Ruth, if you want to call it that. We have Naomi, Ophrah, and Ruth here. Naomi is a Christian out of place. A Christian out of place. Supposed to be in Bethlehem, Judah, and here we find her in Moab, which is a picture of the world. Bethlehem, Judah is a picture of heaven or the Christian life. We have Ophrah, who's Christian looking, but she's lost. Then we have Ruth, who's a Christian in service with determination. She was determined. She was determined. You might say that Naomi was backslidden. You might say that that Ophrah was one who was returning to worldliness or worldly desires. That's where her desire really lied. She wanted to be with the world. She had the appearance of a Christian, but she wasn't a Christian. Then, of course, Ruth is the overcoming believer. And boy, that's what we need to be. Let's just look at these three widows just briefly here this morning in this passage of Scripture. Notice with me in verse number 3, it said, Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left of her two sons, and they took them wives of the women of Moab. Let's just stop our reading right there. Here we have a widow grieving. Naomi is grieving. She has lost her husband. There was a famine in the land of Bethlehem, Judah, so they packed up their things. They heard that there was bread, there was provisions down in Moab, so they packed up and they moved down there. Listen, we need to be careful when we move from one place to another. We better make sure it's the will of God if we move from one place to another. I've heard time and again of families uprooting and moving from a location because of a job, but they never went there and checked out to see if there was a good, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church in the area they're going to. And they say, oh, well, there's one 50 miles away or 60 miles away. And my friend, next thing you know, you hear that they're not even in church anymore. Listen, you better make sure it's the will of God for you to leave where you're at and go to some other place. You better make sure. Here we find that Elimelech, of course, he was the leader, and he made the decision, and Naomi went along with him because she was the wife. She was in submission to him. So she gets down there, and her husband dies, and now she finds that she is a grieving widow. She was suffering from physical loss. We've all lost loved ones. And, I hate to keep saying it, but, you know, in the last year and a half, we lost several family members. And it's tough, that physical loss. I miss Terry to this day. I was sitting here this morning as we were singing, Miss Debbie and Miss Yoo-Hoo back here were singing It Is Well With My Soul. I was thinking that was the first song that Buddy and Terry and I ever sang together. It Is Well With My Soul. And, the loss. I think about my dad every day. Every day I miss my dad. I think about my mother-in-law, about Granny, and all the good times I had with Granny. Well, we go over and we play dominoes and just have a good time. I remember one time we were playing dominoes, me and Janet and Granny and a friend of ours, Sid Keeler, who's already gone to glory as well. And I was a whistling. I'm a whistler. And Sid says, I can name that tune. I said, you can't either. She said, yes, you can. So I go, and she'd say, Amazing Grace. I said, that's right. So we'd go on a little bit, and she'd call out some song. I said, that's right. Granny says, how can you do that? It didn't make any difference what song she named. It was going to be right. we just had a good time with Granny. And I miss Granny, amen. And listen, there's that physical loss, that pain that she was feeling. But now she has that physical loss, but now she finds herself in a position in the world. Here she is in a world, she's in an environment that is hostile, that is not really familiar to her, even though she'd been there for some time. Now her husband is gone, and I think about my mom, my dad, they were married almost 68 years, and if he would have lived, he died in March of last year, and if he would have lived until May 7th of last year, they would have been married 68 years, and my mom's, thank God, I've got six sisters that live close around my mom and really help her out, and brother-in-laws that have been a real blessing and help, but she's found herself in a position that she's not familiar to, and that's why Naomi is here. She has this physical loss, but now she has this position in the world that she's just not familiar with. Her husband took care of all these things. The Bible tells us in 1 John chapter 2 and verses 15, 16, and 17, says, love not the world, neither the things of the world, for the things of the world are enmity with God. And the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. So we're not to be, not have a desire to go into the world and the things of the world. But then I see that she thinks about the past memories. Notice what it says in verse number 6. Then she arose with her daughters-in-law that she might return into the country of Moab, for she had heard in the country of Moab how that the Lord had visited his people in giving them bread. She was still in Moab. She's still out there in that unfamiliar place. And she has this physical loss. She has this position there. But she remembered the past blessings of when she was in Bethlehem, Judea. She remembered how she was blessed there, how God provided for them, how God took care of them, and she longed to go back. My friend, listen, you're a child of God this morning. You're saved by the grace of God, and you get away from God, and you get out of church, and get away from the things of God. If you're truly saved, if you're truly born again, there'll be a longing to go back. I know I've told my testimony of backsliding here before, but I'm just going to go ahead and tell it again. Janet and I got saved. Janet got saved about a year before I did, and then I got saved, and we got involved in church, and Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, got busy out on visitation and all these things, and then I had an opportunity to work a lot of overtime at work, and so I was working 12-hour days and 14-hour days. I was missing Wednesday night, and then I was working, I was working that 5 days, 6 days a week, working 12 and 14 hours a day, and so Sunday afternoon would roll around. I said, well, let's just not go to church tonight. I'm tired. I got to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and go to work, and so we laid out on Sunday night. Then next thing I know, Sunday morning roll around. I said, oh, if I could just sleep another
another hour longer. Let's not go to Sunday school today. We'll just go to the morning church service. Next thing I know, I was completely out of church. I was backslid out of church. Got my family out of church. All because of the mighty dollar. I work all that overtime, make all that extra money. The only one made a lot off of me was Uncle Sam. But in my heart, there was a desire. I wanted to get back. But the devil kept saying, oh, if you go back, they're going to laugh at you. They're going to say, I wonder how long it'll last this time. Yeah, that's what the devil does. And he kept me out and kept me out and kept me out. Richard DeFries and Brother Anderson, I can't remember, Paul Anderson, Brother Paul Anderson would come by the house. And finally, they caught us at home, and I made him a promise. Paul was moving away from Illinois, moving out to Minnesota. And he said, Brother Gary, I'd really love to see you in church one more time before our family moves. And so I made a commitment to him that night. I said, I'll be there this Sunday. Didn't go to Sunday school, but went to church that Sunday morning. I couldn't tell you what Brother Snow preached, Brother Tom, like the night you got saved, or the night you surrendered to preach. I couldn't tell you what he preached. I walked in, I was under conviction, I knew I was saved, I knew I was on my way to heaven, but I got backslid and got back out into the things of the world and started running with the same old crowd again, but I had a longing, I had a desire to get back, I had the past memories, I remembered what it was like, the joy and the fellowship of the brothers and sisters in Christ, those who truly loved me, who really cared about me, and I got to church that morning. And I sat there in the back. I don't know what he preached, but my friend, when the altar call was given, I hit that old-fashioned altar and I got right with God. My friend, it was almost like getting saved again. She remembered. Oh, I remember what it was like in Bethlehem, Judah. Do you remember what it was like when you were walking in close fellowship with the Lord? Do you remember what it was like? Man, listen, when you got in the car, it was like Jesus got in and sat down beside you. When you got up in the morning and you opened your Bible, you could feel the Spirit of God around you. But that just, it's gone. Oh, you're here in church this morning. And I'm thankful for that. But has he gone away from you? Have you lost that love and that desire to be close unto him? You know, the Bible says we draw nigh unto God, he'll draw nigh unto us. Listen, when I draw nigh unto my wife, I snuggle up real close. And that's the way God wants to do. Here's Naomi, a widow who's grieving. She's grieving because she's lost that which she loved. She not only lost her son Elimelech, but she lost her two sons. She lost Mahlon and Chilion. Have you lost what you love? And are you remembering the past? Do you remember when you got saved? Amen. Janet was telling Miss Donna about it when we went to eat with them on Friday afternoon. I could hear her in the back seat back there telling her about when I got saved. And Janet came down the stairs where I was at. Now I walked out of that room and she says, there was a difference about it. Still had that old long shoulder length hair. I still had my blue jeans on, and I don't remember what I wore to church that night, but listen, there was a difference. 2 years earlier in the same church, under the same evangelist, Janet and I went to the altar and I prayed a prayer. I made a profession, but I got no possession. And for the next year, I lived just as wickedly as what I did all the time before. A year later, same church, same evangelist, same fella dealt with me. But my friend, listen, I got possession that night. I'm possessed. Amen. In a good way, praise God. The Holy Ghost of God moved into my life and began to change my life, began to turn me around. Listen, I was headed down a broad road of destruction. I met Jesus that night, my friend, and he turned my life around and headed me in a different direction. And my friend, listen, I've not forgotten that night. I can take you back to that place, Benson Baptist Church, there on the corner of Green and I forget the name of the other street, but I could take you in that, and we could walk in the foyer and walk down some steps and make a left-hand turn and then make a right-hand turn. Actually, it happened on the back pew, because I believe I was saved before I ever made it to the altar, because I'd already believed in my heart that Jesus had died for my sin, and I repented in my heart and asked him to save me, amen. But that was just the preliminaries you go through, so somebody make sure that you understand, you know that you're saved. But I could take you to that very spot where I nailed it down. But there's been times in my life when I got away from what the Lord had done for me. And I remember. Remember how sweet it was? Amen. Then notice with me a widow leaving Ophrah. Notice verse number 10. And they said unto her, surely we will return with thee unto thy people. And Naomi said, turn again, my daughters. Why will you go with me? Are there yet any more sons in my womb that they may be your husbands? Turn again, my daughters, go your way. For I am too old to have an husband, and if I should say I have hope, if I should have a husband also tonight and should also bear sons, would ye tarry for them till they were grown? Would you stay for them from having husbands? Nay, my daughters, it grieveth me much for your sakes that the hand of the Lord has gone out against me. And they lifted up their voice and wept again, and Ophrah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. Look at that. Ophrah kissed her mother-in-law, and down verse 15, and she said, behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back. She's talking to Ruth now. Thy sister-in-law has gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Yeah. Here is a widow leaving. Mm-hmm. She's leaving. Remember I said that Ophrah was Christian-looking but lost? This is the proof of it. She went back to her people and her little g gods. She went back. First, she wanted to look like all the others. She wanted to look like everybody else. She wanted to fit in. You know, that's why we put on our Sunday go to meeting clothes, we put on our tie, and we put on our dress and all, and we go in and we try to fit in, even though you know you're lost as a goose in a snowstorm. She was forced to make a decision. In verse number 12 again, she says, turn again now, my daughters, go your way. I'm too old. And down there in verse 15, behold, thy sister-in-law has gone back. She was forced to make a decision. Listen, an unsaved person can only put on a front, only put on a facade for so long until finally they just can't stand it. And either one of two things is going to happen. Either they're going to get saved or they're going to leave. Yes. Amen. They're either going to get saved by the grace of God. They know they're lost. They know they're on their way to hell. They come in. They can talk a good talk. They know the language. Listen, I talk to lost people all the time that know this book. They know the words to say. They know the cliches. That's why we got to be very careful about how much Word of God we share with a lost person. What they need to understand is they're lost and on their way to a Christ's eternity. They need Jesus Christ as their Savior. She was forced to make a decision. I like what Joshua said over Joshua 24 in the last part of that verse, verse number 15. He says, "As for let's just read that verse. Just turn back just a few pages back to Joshua chapter 24. You know the verse. Joshua chapter 24, verse 15. But I want you to see this. The whole verse. I don't have the whole verse memorized. I guess maybe I should. But Joshua 24, 15. And if Joshua speaking to the children of Israel, they've come out of Egypt, and he says, if it seemed good and evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Here, what's he talking about? He's not talking about the flood. He's not talking about the great flood, Noah's flood, but he's talking about coming across the Jordan River. He's talking about coming out of Egypt, coming into the across the Red Sea and getting into the Promised Land. He said, you need to make your choice. You're either going to serve the true and living God, or you're going to serve the gods on the other side.
Yeah. Amen.
Well, Ophrah made her decision. She was forced to make a decision. She made her decision. Finally, she went back to the world from which she came. Oh, at first, in verse number 7, they went on their way and returned to the land of Judah. Naomi said unto her daughter-in-laws, go, return. At first, they both went along with her. But Ophrah just could not take it. So she went back. Look over 1 John chapter 2. Keep your place there in Ruth. We'll come back. 1 John chapter 2. Notice these verses. I point these out to people all the time who say, well, they're backslid. Well, they've been backslidden out of church for 30 years. Oh, but they're saved. They don't read their Bible. They don't pray. They don't go to church, you know. But, oh, I know they're saved because one time they prayed a prayer. Can I say this? A prayer never saved anybody. With the heart man believeth unto the righteousness. With the mouth confession is made unto salvation. It's in the heart. Yeah, we should have a confession, a outward confession of it, but it's in the heart. Notice 1 John chapter 2 and verse number 18. Little children, it is the last time. And as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now there are many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. Notice, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. What's he talking about there? What's John talking about? He said there were some who were here, but they were really Antichrist, and they went out from us because they were not amongst, they were not of us. Listen, I've seen people come and they'll make a profession and they'll be in church for a little while and then they get out of church and then you go try to talk to them and they have no desire to go back. They were not of us. They went out from among us because they were not of us. It bothers me greatly when I run across somebody who says they've been saved for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, 15 years, 30 years, whatever it is, but they have not darkened the doors, have no desire to go to church, no desire for the things of God. They are an antichrist. They're against Christ. I'm for Christ. I'm here. Listen, she was a widow leaving. She went back. She longed to go back to serve her gods. See, you got to have it on the inside. Paul said of Demas, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. Only Luke is with me. Praise God, Luke was with him. Amen. So we have a widow that's grieving, and we have a widow that's leaving, and then we have a widow that's cleaving. Amen. Amen. Notice verse number 16 of Ruth 1. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, or to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God, my God. Where thou diest, I will die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also. But if death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Listen, here is a widow that's cleaving. She got something that was real. Here is Christianity in action. Listen, she wasn't like Oprah, who longed to go back to Moab and go back to the things of the world. No. She said, your God shall be my God. Your people are going to be my people. Where thou goest, I will go. Where thou diest, I will die. Entreat me not to leave thee. Listen, here is Ruth's decision. She says, no matter, she says, whatever and wherever. That should be our heart's desire, Lord, whatever and wherever. Oh, we sing it. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. Where he leads me, I will follow. I'll go with him all the way. Then the Lord says, why won't you do this? Well, I don't know, Lord. Well, I thought you said where I lead, you'll follow. I thought you said you'll go with me all the way. See her decision. We see her duration. Her duration. Notice what she says at the end of verse number 17. She says, verse 17, where thou diest, will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me more and also. But death separate thee and me. Her duration, I'm here. No matter what, she was talking about a lifetime. A lifetime. Not until it got hard. Not until things got difficult. Not until another famine came along. Not even if Naomi died.
Yes. Amen.
She says, I'm in it for a lifetime. Amen. Oh, but preacher, you just don't know what I'm going through. Do you ever look at the gospel and see what Jesus went through?
Yes. Amen.
You ever look at the book of Acts and see what Paul went through? You ever read about the Apostle John and how he was exiled on the Isle of Patmos? And read in Fox's Book of Martyrs. Somebody was mentioning that. I think it was Brother Jimmy who was mentioning Fox's Book of Martyrs. And read how some of the people stood for the faith, even unto death. They were in it for life. In it for life. Hey, listen, I know some men who are in prison for life. I've preached to them. These men probably have too. They're in there for life.
Yes.
Can't get out. I'm in it for life. I don't want to get out.
Yes.
Not until I hear, doo, 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 doo.
Yes.
Come on. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Boy, the trump of God and sound, yes. And the dead in Christ shall rise first, and those of us which are alive and remain shall be caught up in the Lord, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. What a comfort! I'm in it for life! We see her decision, we see her duration, but then we see her determination. Notice what it says in verse 18. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. She was determined. Determined. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Steadfast, unmovable. I put up a privacy fence on the back, our backyard, because we had a snoopy neighbor over there, really. The guy would stand there in his yard and look in our patio doors. So I put up a privacy fence. I dug holes about so big around, about 18 inches deep. And I set those posts down there, and I put sackcrete in. I wanted them steadfast, unmovable. I didn't want that fence to get loose. We're to be steadfast. When she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her. We need to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. In other words, the world needs to see we mean business. No matter what comes. And folks, let me say, we are headed for some tough times. All that we've been hearing about killing of Christians on the other side of the world is going to come here one day. You mark it down. You say, I don't want to hear that. It's the truth. A widow cleaving. She had made a decision to endure till the end with determination. That's what we need to do. Now, you're one of three of these widows. You're either Naomi, and you found yourself out of place. You've gotten out into the world and the things of the world, but you have a desire to go back, to get back, to get back. Or you're like Oprah, and you put on a good front, but you can't do it anymore. Listen, you cannot live the Christian life in your own strength. You can't do it. You cannot do it. And either you need to get saved, or to come one day where you just say, I am not going back. They went out from us because they were not of us. For had they been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Or you're like Ruth. Thy people shall be my people. You're my people. This is the kind of people I like to be around. Thy God shall be my God. I serve the true and living God. Where thou diest, will I die. I'm in it for the long haul. I told preacher when Lance was reading, he said something about Raymond Barber saying that not looking for the undertaker, looking for the uptaker. I leaned over, I said, he stole that from me. Raymond Barber, Raymond Barber is probably the one that originated that. One of these days, I'm going to take a planar flight. Man, I'm in it for the long haul. Which one are you? You find you're in a place where you shouldn't be? You find that you don't enjoy the things of God because you're not really saved? Are you determined to stay in it for the long haul? Which one are you? Let's stand together. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed.